I invite you to open your Bible to the book of the Revelation and the 20th chapter tonight. Revelation chapter 20. Reading from verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Last Lord's Day evening, we turn to the final chapters of this book, chapters 21 and 22 of the book of the Revelation, and we talk for a while about the exciting and enthralling subject of heaven. We say that every believer has the wonderful prospect at the end of the journey of going to heaven. We mentioned briefly some of the descriptions and delights of this place and what you will find there. The wall of jasper, the street of pure gold, the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, the tree of life for the healing of the health of the nations, and the throne of God and of the Lamb. What a sight to behold! The splendor, the magnificence, the excellence, the beauty of that place. And then we dwelt on the subject, what you will not find in heaven. And we thought of how there's no death there, for Christ has abolished death forevermore. There's no sorrow there, for sorrow and sighing shall flee away. No crying there, for God himself, with his own tender hand, will wipe away the tears of his own beloved people. No pain there. In our eternal home, pain will have vanished. There's no more suffering. No unbelievers there. Not one sinner, unconverted, will be permitted to enter into this glorious place. There's no night there. No shadow will ever cast itself upon those streets. No sin will be found. No uncleanness or impurity will pierce the gates of this city. And no curse will be there. Christ removes the curse forever through his salvation. What an encouragement there is from these wonderful facts. But tonight I want to turn our attention to the other side of the scale and ponder a similar question. What you will not find in hell. Hell is a solemn subject. One that men do not like to hear about or think about, but one that ought to make us tremble. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. How awful for the soul which dies without the mercy of God. We learn many things in the Bible about hell, the place of the lost and the damned. Many horrific details and descriptions are recorded. But this is not the subject that we're going to look at this evening. Though I want to remind you that hell is a real place. It's not a fictional story. It is not the fantasy of the human mind. It is not a fairy tale. It's a real, literal place. Hell is also a place of separation, where man will be separated from God and all that is good forevermore. Hell is a place of suffering and pain, where men cry out by reason of the torment that they are in. Hell is a place of fire. It is a place where men weep and wail and gnash their teeth in pain. Hell is eternal. It is forever and ever and ever. These things are real. These things are present. But what will not be in hell? That's the subject for tonight. I want you to turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And there's a variety of scriptures that I want to draw your attention to as we think upon this subject. The Gospel of John, the chapter 10, and notice what it says, the words of Jesus in verses 27 and 28. The first thing that we discover about hell is there will not be a redeemed soul there. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Eternal life means eternal life. And when Jesus says that he gives to his sheep, representing the redeemed of God, eternal life, and they will never perish, the Lord Jesus means what he says. The true Christian is resting in God's hand, in Christ's hand. We are doubly secure. And we have that wonderful assurance that we'll never be lost. Our redeemed soul will never be in hell. The Lord Jesus, in the 6th chapter of John, verse 37, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." You have the guarantee from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. We have the promise, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's something that is definite. It is something that is sure. You can search every corridor and every chamber of hell, and you will never discover one soul that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus Christ performed his saving work, he performed it well, fully and eternally. Thank God, I will never be in hell. And if you're a believer in this meeting, saved by the grace of God, you have that same assurance. There's no such thing as being saved and lost. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish. The second thing that will not be in hell, and I want you to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 33, is a faithful preacher. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 7. As the Lord speaks to his prophet Ezekiel, he said, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." A man who is truly saved and called by God into the ministry of the word will be faithful to the flock over the which the Lord has appointed him. He will remember that solemn text, the words of Paul, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." There is a solemn obligation upon the true preacher of Jesus Christ to preach the glorious gospel. The duty of the preacher is to faithfully warn men to flee from the wrath to come. And he must present Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. Of course, the man who preaches the whole counsel of God will not be popular among the ungodly and the worldly of today. He will be hated, he will be despised, he will be rejected. But that is the cross that he is prepared to bear. You will never find a faithful preacher in hell. Oh, there's many unfaithful ones there. The Bible tells us about such, both in the Old Testament and the New. I think of the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a faithful man of God, raised by the Lord. But there were others who were self-appointed men. Men who ran, but they were never sent. Men who appointed themselves to the work of the ministry, but the Lord had never called them. And they were the false shepherds of that time. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, the Lord said unto the prophet, "The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." False prophets, they'll be in hell. The Lord Jesus, he speaks about such in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, when he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He goes on to talk about those who will say, "Lord, Lord, open unto me, I've preached in your name." But the Lord will say, "I knew you not, I know you not." Preachers, preachers lost, preachers without a message, preachers who did not know the Lord themselves, they'll be in hell, all right. When I was a minister in Oulton Broad and Lowestoft were just beside each other. Oulton Broad, strictly speaking, is the village. Lowestoft is the town. But there was a certain rector there in the Church of England in Lowestoft, the rector of Kirkley. And I can remember vividly him writing in the local newspaper. We have the opportunity from time to time to take a month, and every week we submitted an article for the paper. Other ministers were asked to do likewise. And when his month came, he hadn't got a message. His messages were not from God. His messages were not from the Bible. Speaking on the subject of hell, he said that everybody was going to be saved, that there was no such place as hell. He said that Nero was going to be saved, Hitler was going to be saved, and he made the suggestion that even the devil himself was going to be saved, that God was going to take everybody into heaven at the end of the journey. An unfaithful preacher, a man who will be lost unless he repents of his sin in hell forevermore. One day all the false shepherds, the leaders of false religion, the apostates and the unfaithful ministers, they will stand before God. They will give an account. And those who have rested upon a false hope and an insecure foundation for their salvation and have led others the same way will be ushered out into a lost eternity forevermore, but the faithful man of God will not be there. Thirdly, an opportunity of salvation will not be found in hell. Oh, that I could warn you tonight if you're not saved in this meeting. There are no opportunities in a lost eternity. There is no salvation after death. In that future state of punishment, there will never be given that occasion to be saved. There is no post-mortem salvation. It is what happens in this life that determines what happens in the life to come. It is what you do with Jesus in time that determines what he will do with you in eternity. We live in the day of grace, the day of opportunity, but that day will cease in eternity for those who die without Christ. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But in the great expanse of a lost sinner's hell, such an accepted time and such a day of salvation is gone forever. It's not known there. You know, my friends, you'll never attend another gospel meeting. Sometimes those who know not the Lord feel under pressure, maybe somewhat coerced to come to a gospel meeting like this. They don't always count it as a privilege to be under the gospel. But I tell you, when you die, if you die in your sin without the Lord and you go into a lost eternity, there's no more opportunities there. There's no more gospel meetings there. You will never sit in a meeting like this throughout the countless ages of eternity. You will never be invited to a gospel mission. Every year we seek by the grace and help of God to have a mission. Every other year we have a mission in the church. And we have our mission coming up in April time. And then every other year we have an outreach mission. And we go to some locality outside the town where we erect a tent or hire a hall, and there the gospel is preached. But there's no gospel missions in a lost eternity. You will never pass by an open air. We try to take our stand for the Lord every other Saturday. We appreciate those that are involved in the work and come along and give out gospel literature and stand with us in the cause of Christ. And the word of the Lord goes forth. It's just a short time, maybe for half an hour or so, as we stand there to proclaim the gospel in the open air. Many who pass by, they never go to church. They never hear the gospel and would not otherwise. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for us to go to them and to stand in the streets of our town and preach Christ and His glorious gospel. Sometimes we are despised for it. There are those who pass by and you know by their demeanor, by their appearance, by the countenance, that they're not happy that we're standing there preaching the gospel. Others refuse outright to take the gospel literature that is offered to them. But you know, there's coming a day when they will wish that they would hear another open-air meeting, when they have the privilege of walking by that service that was being conducted outdoors, just to hear the gospel one more time, just to get another opportunity of being saved. Because my friends, in a lost eternity, there's no open-air meetings. Do you despise such now? You will wish for such then, but they're clean gone forever. You will never sit beneath the influence of gospel preaching. You will never listen to the gentle entreaties of a faithful preacher. You will never be handed another gospel tract. Don't despise it. There was a young man who was many years ago just about to go out on a night of sin. And as he was leaving his home, there was a tract placed by his hat and his gloves. It was a cold evening, and as he was leaving to pick up his hat and his gloves, there was a gospel tract. And he made the comment, "Where in the world can I go where I will not have a gospel tract given to me?" He was irritated. He said, "Somebody gave me a tract today on the street. My mother leaves tracts for me on the table, and here is one in the hall. Where can I go where I will not be bothered by a tract?" And his mother sadly replied, "When you go to hell, nobody will give you a tract." There are no churches there. There are no Bibles there. There are no evangelists there. No Sabbath school teachers. No Bible studies. No family nights. No gospel services. The nearest thing that you will get to a religious service is a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting preacher, yes. I believe there's a prayer meeting in hell. And I base that upon the evidence of God's word. I read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16 about a man who is there in the midst of that fiery inferno, and he's praying and he's crying. And what's he crying for? Mercy. Have mercy on me. He wanted the mercy of God. He's praying in hell. And I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that the great host of the lost in that eternity that is forever will forever cry for the mercy of God, but it's gone forevermore. Hell is a place where man can never repent. Doesn't the Bible tell us about an unpardonable sin? Doesn't it tell us about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit? How that that sin cannot be forgiven, neither in this life, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. Man cannot be forgiven in hell. So don't be looking for a second chance. Don't be looking for another opportunity. There's no hope written over the gates of hell. Fourthly, you will never find a river or a sea in hell. There's no water there. Here on earth, we see our beautiful rivers and lakes and oceans. In heaven, for the believer, there will be the majestic river of life that we read about in Revelation 21 or 22 in verse 1. But hell knows nothing of this. Why? Because there's no water there. That rich man that I mentioned to you, as he cries out for mercy, he has one particular request in mind. One request upon his lips. What is it? Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's no water in a lost eternity. The fire of hell will never, never be quenched. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the chapter 9 and verse 43, listen to what the Word of God has to teach. The Gospel of Mark, rather, and the chapter 9, reminding us here that the fire of hell will never be quenched. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is ultimately a lake, but not a lake of water. Rather, it is a lake of fire and brimstone. Nothing but fire. It is described in this book as everlasting fire, a furnace of fire, unquenchable fire, devouring fire. No water. Men will thirst forever. They will cry out for water forever. From their feverish, parched lips will come this deep longing request for water to cool their burning tongues. But forever it's gone. There's no water in hell. Turn to Revelation 20 and verse 10. This portion that we read tonight. There's no rest. No rest in hell. We read here about the devil who deceived them, how that he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Tormented day and night forever and ever. Because hell is a place where there's no rest. No rest from the agony and the pain. No rest from the scorching flames. No withdrawal from the unending torment. No repose for the burning souls of men. No relief. No respite for their blazing bodies and souls. Hell is continual. Hell is constant. Hell is ceaseless. There used to be an advert a few years back on the television, and it was for Kit Kats. You may remember it. It was a blasphemous advert. Because you see, the little slogan that goes along with the Kit Kat is, have a break. And they pictured hell, the place of fire. This was on the advert. And men leaving the place of torment to take a rest, to have a break from the scorching flames. That advert was blasphemous before God. Blasphemous as far as the Word of God is concerned. Because, my friends, the Bible teaches there's no rest. There's no rest in hell. There's no happiness there. No joy, no peace, no contentment. Hell is a place of misery. The psalmist in the Psalm 18 and verse 5 wrote these words, "The sorrows of hell compass me about." In the Gospel of Matthew, in the chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, "The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These expressions are reminding us, my dear friends, that there's no happiness in hell. Hell is a place of everlasting torment, a place of crying and tears and gloom. They gnawed their tongues for pain. The body is wrecked with pain. What must it be, even in this life, to be burned alive? Can you imagine it? Such an horrific death. I often think of the martyrs who were burned at the stake. Years ago, in the early part of the Troubles, our family lived just outside the town of Newry. And I can remember looking down into the town. It was about a mile away. The sky was red. It was aglow. And there was a shop on fire. We found out later that two terrorists had gone into a furniture store and they had set it alight. But whatever happened, they had blocked their way of escape, and those two men were burned alive in the very fire that they had started. And I used to think, what an awful death to be burned alive, albeit just perhaps for a few minutes, maybe not even a few minutes, before you're overcome with the smoke and with the flame. Think of hell tonight, what it must be for the body to burn forever and yet the body never being consumed. The soul is compassed with agony. The mind is filled with torment. The only happiness that a man destined to hell will ever know is earthly happiness, such as it is. And even then, it's only temporal. It's only for a little time, a short space, as long as our life lasts. And then it will fade away forever. It's not only temporal, but it's superficial because, you know, it's not real. Real happiness is found in God. It is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And so the sinner in this life, though there's a certain amount of human happiness, it's not real. There's no happiness in hell. There's no love there. On earth we know something of love. Love that we have in our family relationships. Love that we have among our friends. Love that we have, as far as the believer is concerned, found in Christ and in God, that will vanish in a lost eternity. The mind of man will be tormented with the memory of love. He will look back to his time on earth, spent with those that he loved and those that loved him. But love is gone forever. There's no love in hell. There men hate God. Revelation chapter 16 and verses 10 and 11 speaks of this. Revelation 16 and verse 10. "The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." You see, my friends, in hell, where there's pain, men curse God, men blaspheme God. They do not know the love of God in a lost eternity. And men hate each other, for love is not known. There's no light there. Jesus Christ was preaching the sermon on the second coming in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. He had this to say in verse 30. "Cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jude speaks upon similar lines when in Jude verse 13 he speaks about the chains of darkness. Do you know the flames of hell do not burn with light, but with a deep mysterious darkness? Eternal night reigns there. How awful to be cast into the blackness of the bottomless pit. Have you ever even as a child wakened up terrified in the dark. And you grasped for the light, and when you switched it on, all was well. But there's no light in heaven. You don't get the opportunity to turn the light on. It's eternal fear forever. Have you ever felt the loneliness of walking down a road or a lane in the pitch black night? No street lamps, no moon, no torch, no light. Hell is that for eternity. Have you ever groped helplessly around the dark room, stumbling and falling? Hell is that also. Unlike heaven, there's no light there. We sing a little chorus in our children's meetings. There's no night there. There's no night there. It's about heaven. Hallelujah, there's no night there. For in that city bright where Jesus is the light, hallelujah, there's no night there. The opposite is true of hell. We could render those lines. There's no light there. There's no light there. Oh, take heed, there's no light there. For sinners in their plight will face eternal night. Oh, take heed, there's no light there. My friend, you ought to be troubled. You ought to tremble. The sun will never rise. The moon will never set. The stars will never shine. The lamp will never gleam. The fire will never glow. No light but night. No brightness but darkness forever. There's no little children there. It is my firm conviction that all babies and little children who die before they reach the age of understanding, to know their right hand from their left, to discern between good and evil, are accounted for in the great covenant of redemption and are covered by the blood of the cross. I believe when such are snatched away in infancy, they are immediately transported on high and go to heaven. How do I know this? I base it upon the information that the Bible has given. I think, first of all, of that Old Testament scripture in the life of David when he lost his infant child. David was heartbroken. We understand that. His little child of 8 days old was taken. And David is in sorrow. But my friends, he takes comfort in this fact that though the child would not come back to him, he one day would go to be with the child. What confidence had David? He had confidence that his infant child had gone to be with the Lord, which is far better, and one day he would meet that child again. I base it also on the words of the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Little children, he was speaking about those in infancy. They could not discern between good and evil, they could not discern between right and wrong. They hadn't reached the age of understanding. Those little children they took up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. He says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." No little children in heaven. And then finally, Jesus Christ is not there. Hell is a place for those who die without Christ. And as they lived on earth without Christ, so they will exist in eternity without Christ. They will never have the privilege of his comfort and companionship. His grace, mercy, love, pardon and purity will not be known there. Jesus is exalted far above all. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's on the throne tonight. He will be in heaven with his beloved people forevermore, and they will enjoy the sweetness of his companionship, his peace, and his comfort. The man who dies without Christ will spend eternity in the company of the devil, the fallen angels, the beast, the false prophet, the wicked, the atheist, the blasphemer, the murderer, and every other foul sinner that you can think about tonight. Jesus Christ is the risen, exalted, glorified Savior, and in his state of the God-man, he will not be in hell. I read a poem years ago that said, "Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love nor peace nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face streaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon nor grace. No water. Oh God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's peace. There's no rest in hell. This is the place tonight where your loved one, where your neighbor, if they die unprepared, unsaved, unwashed, will go to. It's our duty as Christians to keep souls out of hell. We read in the book of Jude, others sealed with fire or with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We are to urge the terror of the Lord upon them so that they might be rescued from the fires of a lost eternity. That's our duty as God's people. What about those in this meeting tonight who are not ready? You're unprepared to meet God. You haven't come in faith to Christ. You've never repented of your sin. And this night finds you on the road to hell. This place that we've spoken about tonight. And those things that will not be there. Oh, how is it with your soul? Where do you stand in the light of eternity? These things are important. More important than anything else that you can think of. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? It's the prayer and desire of my heart that you will spend eternity in heaven. Saved by Jesus' blood. Redeemed, safe in the arms of Jesus. I don't want to see you lost forever in the Christless eternity. If you're not a Christian in this meeting, come to Christ. Come at once. Come now. Turn to Christ for Jesus' sake. Heavenly Father, impress thy word upon our hearts. Last Sunday night, we reveled in heaven. We thought of that wonderful place and all those things that curse us here in this life, how that they will be absent in heaven. And tonight, Lord, we've thought of the other side. We've thought of hell and the things, the good things that will not be there. Lord, what an awful place this is, where souls will be banished for all eternity. I pray for awakening grace. Grace that will awaken the people of God, that we might understand more and more of what a lost eternity is, so that we might save others with fear, pulling them out of the fire. An awakening grace to the sinner, that they might come to see their need tonight and flee such wrath to come. O God, have mercy. Bring the lost to the Savior, because we ask in his name. Amen.